Dufferbet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to Dufferbet, WPL Radio.
Never mind about being tough at the top, it's just got tough at the bottom too. New Tannen, TNS's world record, Airbus beat Bangor, real draw Llandudno. But now they'll all have to play each other for the rest of the season. Is this the toughest bottom six the WPL has ever seen? We'll be analysing the post-split world with Jonah in a second, and we'll be previewing the Nathaniel Carr's Cup Final with Barry Tan's Gavin Chesterfield. And say cheese? No, we're not talking about my jokes, but the fantastic photographs this league generates with WPL Photographer of the Season, Nick Mesney. But first, here's the man with a face for radio, Mark Jonah Jones. Jonah, a super Saturday it was, and it doesn't half make for an exciting top and bottom six.
Brilliant super Saturday, just summed up the first half of the season really. It was entertainment right up until the last couple of minutes of all games. I thought the televised live game was one of the best nil-nils I've seen for a long time. It was entertainment end to end. Llandudno unreal, the 2-2. Newtown just about summed the season up so far. TNS setting a world record, smashing everybody all season with some superb football. Newtown struggled all season and an 11th spot with 18 points. 3-1 down in the last 10 minutes and they come back and make it 3-3. Just about sums the Dufferbet Welsh Premier League up so far this season.
Well, let's talk further of some of those super performances by those at the wrong end of the table. First off, Newtown, as you said, ending TNS's world record run. Here's Chris Hughes breaking hearts.
We're still second from bottom, so that's been the message to the players, that whilst it's a great comeback, 3-1 down with 8 minutes to go, scoring two goals, you know, playing as well as we have done throughout the game, but we now find ourselves in a scrap, in a battle, in a fight now for the bottom six, and we have to take the momentum from that into that.
And Airbus caused some turbulence too, unexpectedly beating Bangor, and it was a delight for Andy Thomas.
We've still got work to do on defending set plays, obviously. They're the only chances really they had. It's the first time we've been able to make subs to make a difference. So the subs made a big difference today, but I think the work rate of every single player was outstanding. Play well in most games, to be honest, but we haven't got what we deserved in some games, but today we did. Credit to the lads, to be fair.
Jonah, what a time to perform for both of these sides, eh? What did you make of Airbus's performance as well?
Well, I think, Mac, we can go back to last week's podcast. We briefly, somebody mentioned along the way that there could be a couple of dead rubbers, right? Now, we said straight away, right, there were no dead rubbers. And all these games have proved out to be that way because they've both, Newtown, Airbus especially, have rekindled their chances of staying in the Dufferbet Welsh Premier League. So, you know, that Airbus performance against Bangor, I don't think a lot of people have seen it coming. There's still now 30 points to play for them, and they're only 5 points away from getting out of the relegation area. So, Mac, they're going to scrap all the way. They've had a great time in this league. They've been to European football, Airbus. They've had wonderful times. They lost a manager. They may have had a big problem in settling in. The new manager might have a big problem, Andy Thomas, in settling in. Perhaps Saturday's result will settle him in, and they might be right back in the race. But what a race it's going to be.
Of the TNS Newtown result and the Airbus Bangor result, Jonah, which one was the most unexpected out of those two?
It has to be Newtown because TNS were becoming unplayable. They were 3-1 ahead, coasting. You know, they created a world record. Newtown, it seems like everything's gone wrong from all season. But they dug in and they know they need to dig in. It is going to be a result like that which might turn their season. Them last 10 minutes for the Robins might turn round the next 10 games of their season and save them.
And Real reminded everyone that they've still got some fight in them, drawing with Llandudno to end their top six hopes. Let's hear from Niall McGuinness and then Llandudno's Sean Eardley.
I think it shows her what it's going to give us in these last 10 games. I think obviously Sean's is a great chance to win it, but he hasn't played, has he? So I think run of games, you win that game 3-2, he puts it away. But no, it's positive, because for at least 70 minutes of that game we've been the better team, and it was a game of chances, which we haven't took. And to be fair, I can't count on my finger them having more than three, and they've scored two of them. Disappointed with the first goal, I thought it was sloppy. It's a poor goal to give away. But other than that, in terms of us, I'm happy and I'm chuffed with the performance the lads have gave me today.
You know, it is what it is. You know, we're in the bottom six now, and you know, in a way, it's a different league to win. You know, we've got to approach every game as if it's a cup final. We've got to get points on the board. And, you know, hopefully if TNS continue on their run, that seventh place is going to be all the more vital. So it's one of them. We've got to dust ourselves down, get a couple of recovery sessions in, and obviously look forward to the Bangor Welsh Cup game now.
And the benefactors of Llandudno's lament were Carmarthen, of course. Although they've worked hard and timed their run to perfection, here's Mark Hazelwood.
I know Llandudno didn't beat Rhyl, but I wanted us to get in there from our own efforts. And so we've come, we've got the result, and we're in there. And it's a fantastic achievement for the group of players. We've had a terrible run of injuries this season, like none other in my time at the club. But, you know, we've patched people up at times who shouldn't be out there. They've gone out there. The spirit amongst the group is fantastic. And for the first time in quite a number of years, the top six, apart from TNS, doesn't really hold any fears. Because if you look at it, we've taken points off Ballo, we've taken points off Connors Quay, we've beaten Bangor, we've beaten Cardiff Met. So there's no real fears going into the top six for me. And I've just said to the players there, look, absolutely wonderful, enjoy tonight. But that's not the end of our ambition for the season. You know, we want to finish as high as possible, and we can do that.
A reminder that all the latest post-match interviews from the clubs, as ever, can be found on Audio Boom. In a minute, we'll assess that top six, but Jonah, first, let's put Kevin Druids and ABBA into that bottom six. You've got a heck of a mini-league. Come on, put your neck on the line. Who's going to be at the top for a playoff? Who's going to be down the bottom at the end of the season?
Neck on the block early on, I think Llandudno could sneak top spot if they bring out some of their form of last season. When they play well, they really do play well, Llandudno, and they are capable, I think, of winning six out of their last 10 games, which will most probably, you know, get them top spot, I think. The bottom, I'm at the moment, Airbus still have a lot to do, a hell of a lot to do. It was a brilliant result against Bangor. I hear there could be still some transfer signings, which could be significant signings to help them out. But the rest, what a dogfight. It's the biggest dogfight I've seen in my time in the Daffer Belt League since this has started. Llandudno, 26 points in seventh spot, are not safe yet. That's the only way I can sum it up.
Well, to be fair, I thought you'd bottle that one. You'd be braver than me. I'm not saying anything.
Well, get paid chocolate biscuits and cups of teas for doing this podcast. Thank you very much.
Quickly, ABBA and Druids. Are ABBA the ones that should worry you the most? Because they really have blown hot and cold this season, haven't they?
They need everybody in the bottom six. ABBA and Llandudno, I say, four games and a couple of draws each to be safe. That's a start. Four games and a couple of draws each, and they're safe out of the relegation. But they've got to get them first. Rhyl, I think, would need six or seven wins to claim seventh spot. Kevin Druids, Newtown, Airbus. Kevin Druids, the same as Kevin Druids, could go on a run of 8 wins out of 10. They could claim seventh spot. And I'm just going over exactly what everybody is thinking. It's the biggest dogfight of a bottom six since the league have started. And it's all about consistency now. We've said this all along. Every game, the 3 points now. Come on, Mark. They're all 6-pointers, mate. Starting straight away, as soon as it kicks off. They're all 6-pointers. Nobody got to be cut adrift after 4 or 5 games. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. You've got to make a good start. And that goes for every team in that bottom six.
And who are the players from those bottom six, from the individual sides, who you think are going to deliver here? What names should we look out for?
I said Oswell all along for Newtown. Perhaps he's dried up a little bit. You know, I expect him to come and get a few goals in the bottom six especially. I like the boy Cook. I must be fair. I like the boy Cook. And maybe seen somebody Saturday who Jordan Davis left the league as a left back. Wrexham on loan to Bangor. Done really well for Bangor. I like the lad Arson at the left back at Kevin Druid's really, really Naimas, and I think his name has really impressed me. Looked a good young footballer. Real, you've got the likes of, you know, Rob Hughes. He blows hot and cold, but the lad Alex Jones in midfield is having a tremendous season. Perhaps he is the bottom six player of the season so far, bottom six player of the season. Aberystwyth, you know, you're looking for Kellaway to get on his bike and set them alight if he can get fit. And Llan did know Mark Williams, you need him to start scoring goals again, you know, all along. And Airbus are all about, you know, if Tony Gray could get 10 goals in the last 10 games, can he keep them up?
Well, we'll have a look at the top six now, John. I don't want to dwell too much on it because we'll probably talk more about it next week. But, I mean, what should we make of Bangor's wobble? Here's Ian Dawes.
Nowhere near acceptable. Last two games have questioned the work rate and the desire of the team. And when things aren't going well, not enough of them work hard enough. I can't defend some of them today. And it's not acceptable. And I'll take blame for that as well. But if they're not going to do it, I said before the game, we've got a good squad of players, which we have. However, if they're not going to work, you're not going to have a God-given right to win games, and we need to get lads who are going to be with us working our truck off, and that's nowhere near acceptable for the fans and the club.
Now, Jonah, the guys at Force of Bangor, the fans, tweeted this after the Airbus defeat. We weren't clinical enough. We were sloppy in defence. We weren't terrible. End of. Not Vaughan, not Dawes. We didn't perform. # we are a team. Do you agree?
I just think sometimes it's refreshing for football supporters to, and for other football supporters, pundits, players, to feel the honesty of the fans. Why not? They pay their money every week to go and watch a team. These type of fans, Bangor fans, have been through, you know, highs and lows, but they love their club. They absolutely love, the citizens love their club. And all they want is a soaking wet shirt at the end of the game and, you know, playing with a heart, you know, heart was pumping for the 90 minutes. Every football fan requires that, and every football fan should see that from every team who takes the field, especially at this level.
Well, this is the Davabet Welsh Premier League podcast. Still to come, we preview the Nathaniel Carr's Cup final this weekend. But first,
howdy, flashbang, what a picture, what a picture, what a photograph. Poor old bloke, blimey, what a joke, hat blown off in a cloud of smoke. Clap bands, stamp your feet, banging on the big bass drum. What a picture, rum tinny, bum, 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 sticking in your hand, hey! Oh, bum, bum.
Well, they say a picture is worth a thousand words, and who are we to disagree on the Davabet Welsh Premier League? Because we've seen some fantastic pictures over the years of action on our pitches and off our pitches. And I want to speak to one man now who's responsible for taking some of those pictures. His name is Nick Mesney. You may know him as the Gap Connors Key Media Officer. You'll also know him as the man who won Photograph of the Year Award at the WPL Awards last season for a fantastic effort. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Now, how important is a picture in football?
Well, for me, obviously, personally, as the photographer, it's very important. It's great for the PR of the club at the end of the day, because it gets us into the local newspapers. It gets people looking and seeing us. I know Aberystwyth have used one of my photos on their website from when they actually beat us in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And it was one of those moments where, personally, absolutely gutted, but there's a good moment to be captured there. And that's quite often the overriding factor, is just kind of being prepared to capture those kind of moments, basically, even if it's at the expense of your own team.
Now, I said at the start there, a picture is worth a thousand words. That's the idiom, isn't it? What Yep. does a football picture tell you that words can't tell you?
I think it gets across the passion is the one thing I would say. Although very often I'm taking photos of the action on the pitch, some of the more poignant moments, I would say, are probably the ones that are off the pitch. I know I took one earlier this season of Andy Morrison after we beat Newtown at home 1-0. And it was just about the anticipation. I could see how much the game meant to him. So with a minute or two to go, I just perched myself right by him. And just waited and waited, and there he was. He spun round perfectly with a big fist in the air and a big celebration. It's the post-match, the celebration, the emotion, the passion, for me, that kind of really comes across in them. Again, when I took the photo that won me the award last year, I was pretty much hanging off the side of our stand at Deeside Stadium, because I could tell I wanted to be in and amongst it. I didn't want to be down on the floor taking a photo of the guys. I wanted to be up there with them. But at the same time, I needed to get far away enough so that I could actually fit everybody in, fit George around lifting the trophy. So I was, for lack of a better term, left hand hanging onto the fence, right hand on the camera, and just dangling off the edge, in essence, and getting the right position.
Where was the safety officer when you were taking that picture?
Somewhere celebrating with the rest of them, I reckon.
Oh, I can imagine the paperwork if that went wrong. Where there's a blame, there's a claim. Now, look, you're not the only person with this discipline in the league. There are quite a few other photographers flying around this league, aren't there? Like Naomi at Baller and Brian.
Of course,
looking at their work, which one of their pictures sort of sticks out in some of the stuff that they've done?
I always really like Brian's, that he sets up. He's got a remote camera that he always sets up behind the goals. And I love those little shots, to be honest with you. He sets it up at the base of the net, and you can always see that he's just got a little remote, and bang, he just snaps it as the ball goes in, basically. And again, that's always catching the emotion, the passion of the players as the ball is literally in the back of the net. You can very often get some really good close-ups of the players as well as the whole ball coming in. I think Naomi's doing brilliantly as well. She won the year before. I've spoken to her a few times, and she says she's always just sort of looking to improve, kind of thing. I would quite confidently say she has improved even since winning the award. She's getting some really good shots. Got to give Kevin at Newtown a shout out as well, because I think his work's fantastic as well. Some of the photos that we see.
Now, in this day of everybody being an expert at media, Instagram and, you know, phones being very, very good cameras these days.
Of course.
I look at one picture that stands out for me recently of yours was the fog-laden pitch at the TNS Gap Connors Key game, which got called off. And I look at that and I say, to me, that's the winner already for picture of the year. I'm not judging, by the way, so you can't bribe me on that. But what I would say about that picture is I look at it and I think, all right, which Instagram filter is he used on that? Are you going to tell me off for thinking that?
No, I can understand, because it does look quite a lot like that style of photo. It's very easy to do something like that on Instagram. The only problem with that style of photo, if you were to take it on Instagram and on your phone, if you wanted to get it blown up, for example, to go on a nice big wall at art like we've got in our tunnel at Connorsky, it'd look absolutely horrific by the time it blew up, because the quality of your phone wouldn't take it that high. But with using it on the high quality camera like the one that I've got, obviously it kind of, I can blow that up to be the size of the side of a building. It'd still look as crisp and as perfect. I treated myself to a new camera body, the main bit that you hold in your hand, kind of about a year ago for my 30th birthday, rolled in with my Christmas present, rolled in with Black Friday. That's how much I had to beg my wife for it, because it was that expensive. And then when we went away to the Europa Games, I got myself a nice new lens as well, again, which was circa 1800 quid just for the lens. So again, I had to do a bit of begging and borrowing for that sort of thing to get it in time, because I wanted to make sure that I had the best equipment that I could have to capture what I thought could potentially have been some of our biggest moments in the club's history, and what turned out to be as well, especially in the Starback game.
My thanks to Nick there and the photographers that take our pictures. If you see a nice picture at a game, well, why don't you take it and share it on social media? So the post-split fixtures are out. You can read them all now on the official website, WPL.Cymru. The first Scorio game in that post-split era will be Baller against Bangor, Jonas. You're in for a tasty one.
Just the start of what's going to be a marvellous, you know, 8 to 10 weeks of football. Marvellous. As we said, you know, if the top six is hot, the bottom six is boiling. But the top six is where the cream usually comes, you know, to the top. And we know that they, on merit, they've all made the top six straight away. Can a Baller victory put Bangor out of third space on the first game? It'll put them 7 points clear of them with 9 games to go. Significant. Massive. First game, Baller Bangor. What a great pick.
Well, our preview this week looks at the MG Nathaniel Cars final between Barry Town United of the Welsh League and TNS. Here's Barry boss Gavin Chesterfield.
So first sort of club national final in a long time. And the boys are really up for it. You know, they've gone away on Saturday and got themselves a good 3 points. And now we prepare, for TNS on Saturday. You know, last year, the live game gave the lads an indication as to what to expect. And I think the club sort of held itself very well on the day, you know, in a good crowd. the crowd shows there's a good thirst for higher league football. But, you know, whilst we do want to see ourselves as a Welsh Premier club in the near future, we've got to earn that right first. We're in a tough league, you know, and there's other aspirant clubs in there as well. But over the last couple of seasons, as you quite rightly mentioned, you know, we've played quite a few Welsh Premier teams now in opposition, and it seems as if a little bit of momentum is building. Carmarthen were well organised, as you would expect. A decent game of football between two, you know, relatively closely matched teams. And, you know, the pleasing thing again is whilst that's given us momentum, it's given the lads another indication, if you like, or a barometer of what to expect from Welsh Premier teams. And again, it's a test we passed, which we're pleased with, but it's just another step in the right direction for us as a club. And as I said, we've reached the final really against all odds in beating Cardiff Met and Carmarthen, who are Welsh Premier teams, Haverford West, who were a Welsh Premier team last year, and indeed Cambrian and Clinic away. So, you know, whilst we've reached the final against all odds, we certainly feel that we can try our best and compete as best we can against the current world record holders.
And Jonah, Barry are a big club, we know that, full of winning history. Could they upset the apple cart again this weekend?
It'll be a big mountain for them to climb. They're playing the best team in Wales by a country mile. Sometimes when you go into a cup final, you know, when you play off evens, if you're both sixth or seventh in the table and you've both got 30 points, there's a lot of pressure on you to go and perform and win. Let's be honest. Is there pressure on Barry Town's players Saturday? You know, is anybody expecting them to win? But there's always a surprise somewhere along the season in a cup match. And there haven't been many so far. Can Barry create the biggest one in recent seasons? They have players with pedigree. They have players who played in this league before. They have a wonderful coaching staff. They have a great set of fans. You know, could they really climb the mountain and get a result on Saturday? I don't see it myself, I'll be brutally honest. But I'd like to see them turn up and give a great performance. They did last season when they got defeated 5-2 in the Welsh Cup. They were really entertaining, Barry. They got beat. They took a 2-1 lead early on in the game and they entertained everybody. Whether they get, you know, they get beaten heavily or not, I hope not. But Barry Town shirt usually means entertainment and excitement, and I hope they produce the same in the cup final.
Talk about pressure. What's the pressure on TNS? Because obviously they'll want to get the first bit of silver in the cabinet for this year. They've obviously got their eyes on the Iron Brew Cup as well at some stage. So is there a pressure to get this one done and won?
I think Craig Allison said in an interview the other week, success creates pressure. Pressure creates success. But I'd rather have pressure and success than pressure and worries down the bottom of the league. So it's a lovely pressure to be in. He's in the cup final. He's looking to win. Is it his seventh trophy in a row? You know, we're talking, is this another record they're setting? It has to be. It's a fantastic achievement. And just to get to these cup finals all the time, anybody can get knocked out of the cup at any time. You know, in the European Champions League, you get favourites knocking red-hot favourites out. In the FA Cup, you get non-league teams knocking good league sides out. It's a big, big, big ask to keep winning trophies all the time, but it's a wonderful habit.
Well, we'll see the result of that one next Saturday. And, of course, we'll be back in action with a full preview of the Welsh Premier League as Phase 2 kicks off. Jonah, as ever, thanks for your time and we'll look forward to the next weekend.
Thank you very much, Mac, and all the best to both sets of players and fans in the final on Saturday. Good luck.
Sign up for your Duffer Bet account and support the WPL.